gentlemen.
Did you ever cry out like that? Lord, I need you. I'm afraid too often we wait until we're in the midst of the storm to say, Lord, I need you, instead of saying, Lord, I need you every hour. I can't do this by myself. Hebrews chapter 11 in your Bibles, please. Hebrews chapter 11, continuing our topic of faith on this Valentine's Day. Did you notice the theme in our hymns that we sang? Our congregational hymns, all about love. I was kind of, the third one I kind of looked at a minute and thought, no, it doesn't say love in the title, but it was there in the chorus. St. Valentine's Day. I'm not going to take time to do it, but you ought to look at the history of St. Valentine. He wasn't a Catholic saint, by the way. He was alive long before Constantine began the Roman Catholic Church. But it's an interesting story. A lot of legend has built up around it as well, but it's an interesting story, St. Valentine. God loves us. And God has given us the precious gift of faith. You see, faith is not something we have of ourselves, but certainly is something that God has gifted to us, that we can function in the realm of faith. But what is faith? Hebrews chapter 11, I'm going to read just the first three verses as we begin this chapter. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Let's pray together. Lord, as we look at this topic of faith, we each one of us acknowledge that we certainly fall short of having the faith, trusting you as we should, day by day, leaning upon you. Lord, it's so easy to try to do things in our own strength and our own ability. But Lord, help us to understand a bit more of what this morning, what faith is, and what indeed should be the object of our faith, who should be the object of our faith. Lord, we ask your blessing in our time now around your word, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hebrews 11 continues the thought that we begin in the last verses of Hebrews chapter 10. You understand, when the Bible was originally written, it didn't have chapter and verse divisions. It was written, if you will, more like a novel going through, and later on it was divided up into chapters and verses, and sometimes they interrupt our thought a little bit. But Hebrews chapter 10, in verse 37, it says, For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Verse 38, Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Now faith is the substance. You see that Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 3, describes what the writer introduces us to in verse 38, The just shall live by faith. Were you ever carrying on a conversation with someone and they came up with an idea and you thought, what in the world are they talking about? You had no idea. They introduced this new topic and you look at them and you say, what is this word that you're using? You don't understand the word or this phrase. or this person they're speaking of. Who is this individual? The writer of Hebrews introduces us to faith again in verse 38. He says, the just shall live by faith. And then as he begins chapter 11, which describes for us about 4,000 years of faith, and we're going to be looking through some of these individuals in the weeks to come, he wants us to understand as we begin to look, as it says, you look down through these verses over and over, it says, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. What is faith? Faith is not, first of all, it's not blind optimism. Faith is not the thought somebody has a credit card and they say, well, I'm going to go out and I'm going to buy all this on my credit card, and I really think when the bill comes due, I'll have the money to pay for it. And so they go out and they buy the biggest widescreen TV they can get. Money on a credit card. I got her. Then they get a surround sound system. Put her on a credit card. And they thought, well, you know what? If I'm going to have this huge screen and a surround, you know what? I should have theater seats. And so they go out and they buy these theater seats, reclining theater seats with cup holders. Do you ever wonder, I got a great idea for an invention. Shopping carts should have cup holders on them. How many of you are walking around a store and found a cup of coffee sitting on the shelf, nobody nearby? I have. They have a cup holder on a shopping cart. That has nothing to do with this. Just thoughts. You get old, thoughts are like birds. They fly by. If you don't catch them when they go by, they're gone. And so you buy theater seats. You put it all on the credit card. I have faith that when that credit card bill comes in, I'll have the money. And the bill comes in, and you've spent $8,000. You look at your paycheck that week, $800. Something doesn't add up. You see, that's not faith. That's blind optimism. Some Christians, I'm afraid, sometimes we want to live like that. We say, well, I can do what I want, and I can step out by faith. But it's not that. Faith is not a hope-so feeling. Well, I think it will all work out. That I'll do this, and you know, I'll say this, and we'll, and it, I think it'll work out. Maybe in the end, after, you know, between, as they say, I love Newfoundland phrases. Between the jigs and the reels, it's all going to work out. Faith is not intellectual assent. The power of positive thinking. Norman Vincent Peale. You know, anything you can conceive, you can achieve. That's not faith. Faith is not believing in spite of the evidence. You know, in spite of the evidence that I am 62 years old, we'll go back west into the Telly 10. Weston and I are going to run the Telly 10. Despite the evidence that if I run from the front of the lot to the back of the lot, I'm winded and have to lay down and take a nap. Despite of that evidence, despite the evidence that I'm carrying around a little bit more weight than Gene Anderson. No, that's not faith. Faith is not this spooky superstition you hear sometimes. That it gets kind of, woo, you know, I just believe. That's not what it's about. What is faith? Faith is a confident obedience to God's word. A confident obedience to God's word. You see, the word of God is the measure of faith. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written in therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Faith is always based on a confident obedience to God's word. How does faith work? It's pretty simple. First of all, God speaks. God doesn't speak audibly to us today. God doesn't speak today in dreams and visions. God speaks through His Word. See, everything is in here that we need. Everything. And so God speaks through His Word, and we read it. We hear it. And then we trust His Word. You see, God does not lie. God does not fail. We trust His Word, and we act on His Word, believing Him to do what's right and best. See, God has always done what is right and best. Jesus never fails. If God tells us in His Word that this is the thing to do, then Jesus never fails. Remember when Peter was out with the apostles and they were in the ship in the midst of the sea and the wind and the waves were going on, and Jesus comes walking on the water, and Peter sees Him, and Peter, he says, "Lord, bid me walk on the water." And Jesus says, "Come." You see, that was God's Word. God would not tell Peter to do something He was not able to do. By the way, God didn't tell you to walk on the water, okay? So don't you try it. But He said, "Peter, okay, My Word is truth. Come to Me on the water." Peter stepped out of the boat that day. He walked on the water, and his faith was in the Word of Jesus Christ. His faith was not in the water. His faith was not in his skill in water walking. His faith was not in the other men that were in the boat looking and say, "Can you ever think about those other guys in the boat? What is Peter doing now?" There's always somebody around like a Peter, isn't it? That you look and say, "What is he doing now?" His faith was in the Word of Jesus Christ. When he said, "Come to me on the water." When he looked and he, instead of putting his faith in the Word of Jesus Christ, he looked at the wind and the waves and began to look and to, in his own mind, speculate that, well, Jesus said, "Come to me on the water, and I've done that so far, and I've got, I don't know how far, 10 meters or so from the boat or however far it was, I don't know. In spite of that, now I'm looking and the wind is pretty strong. The waves are a little high." And think about that. We always think of Jesus walking on the water, and it's a nice flat plane of water. But the waves were going like this. And so Peter's walking on the water, and he's down, and then he comes way back up on top of the wave, and he comes back down again. And he looks and says, "What did I do now?" And he begins to sink. But he had enough sense, when he began to sink, say, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus Christ was there. Immediately, he took him by his hand. I don't think Peter's head even got wet. And he lifted him up. See, faith is a confident obedience to the Word of God. We hear His Word. We trust His Word. And we act on His Word. The writer of Hebrews now, he gives us some description of faith. He tells us, first of all, faith has actual existence. Faith has actual existence. He says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is real. It can be tested. Faith has actual existence. Think back with me in Daniel chapter 3. Three Hebrews, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They're with Daniel down in Babylon. And we don't know where Daniel is in chapter 3, but they're there. And Nebuchadnezzar decides that he's pretty important. So he sets up this great image in the plain of Dura. And he tells, when you hear the sound of music, everybody's going to bow down and worship this image. And these three guys say, "Well, no. We're not going to." The Bible says, "Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." And so when the music played, the three guys stood up. And there were those who came along and said, You see these Hebrews that you put over the kingdom, and when the music played and everybody's supposed to worship the image of you, they didn't bow down. And so he called the three guys to him, and he says, who is that God? He says, who do you think you are? Who is this that you think this God you think you're serving? There's the fiery furnace. If you don't bow down and worship that image, when the music starts again, you're going in the furnace. I like what they say in verse 17. Our God, whom we serve, is able. Our God, whom we serve, is able. See, their confidence was not in their ability. Their confidence was not in their clothes that they wore were somehow fireproof. Their confidence was not in the fact that maybe Nebuchadnezzar, then they say he would change his mind and not throw them in the burning fire furnace. Their confidence, their faith was in God. Because God said, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. That's the word of God. They said, we're going to obey the word of God. You can threaten us. You can demand of us, but we will serve God. Our God whom we serve is able. And they say in that verse, but if not. See, if God chooses not to deliver us, that is his choice. We will still obey the word of God regardless. We will enjoy a better end than immediate deliverance. See, their faith was in God. They knew that God loved them, God cared about them, and God would honor their obedience either by delivering them from the furnace or deliver them through the furnace from this life into the life to come. Do you ever think they were thrown down bound? Their hands and their feet were bound in their garments, thrown into the furnace. Do you know the only thing that furnace burned was the ropes that bound them? You see, the thing that Nebuchadnezzar thought would destroy them instead liberated them. Nebuchadnezzar, of course, and looked in the furnace, and it was like there was a big furnace. You get on top of it, and they threw him down through the top, and then there was a hole in the side where and he says, didn't we throw three men into the furnace, and I see the fourth like the Son of God walking in the furnace. Later on in the book of Daniel as well. Daniel's told that you can't pray to anybody except the king. Daniel went as he did aforetime. He didn't say, well, I'll show you who I can pray to. But it was his habit. He went in, opened his door, window, and he prayed. He said, we're going to throw you into the lion's den. He said, okay. You know, the Nebuchadnezzar, the king, lost more sleep that night than Daniel did. Again, he was delivered by faith. Faith is substance. Faith, secondly, is evidence. The evidence of things not seen. We can't see heaven. We can't see God. But faith is the evidence. Back in the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah 32, Jeremiah is in prison. And Jeremiah, the Lord speaks to Jeremiah and says, I want you to buy a field. Well, this wasn't a good time. Because the nation of Israel was overrun at that time. They were being delivered into the hands of the Babylonians. But he said, I want you to buy a field. So he went and Hanamel, his uncle's son, had a field. And so he said, I bought the field. And at that time, when you bought a piece of property, it was like today we have a title or a deed to the property. But they had two. They had one title that was a public record. But they had a second title that was taken and put in a stone or a clay jar and buried at one of the corner markers of that property. It was the evidence that that property was his. That's why in the book of Proverbs it says, remove not the ancient landmarks and enter not in the field of the fatherless, because unscrupulous men would take those stones and they would move the stones, the property markers, over another 10 or 15 or 20 feet. But you know what? The evidence was still buried where those stones were. The evidence was still there. See, faith is that evidence. Faith is that proof. Faith is that standard that God is going to do what he said he would do. Faith is a standard or a measure by which other things can be tested. Got this here. You can't see it very well. Looks like a little milk jug or something. That's 100-gram weight. It says right on top of it. 100. Can't read it. 100.
It is grams. I read it.
You read it?
I read it.
You didn't have permission to do that. He said, what? He said, what? You know the scales that you have at the store that you buy things, they put something on a scale? That scale is not the standard. Men from the ministry come around with weights like this, bigger. This weighs exactly 100 grams. They put that on that scale. That scale better not say 110 grams. Because somebody's trying to cheat you. You go to the gas station. They have cans there that they will come. And they will pump from that pump 10 liters. And that 10 liters better fill that can up. Or somebody's getting cheated. See, faith is the measure. Faith is the standard. We are not the measure and the standard. Because our faith fails us. Because sometimes we say, and we put our confidence in ourselves, we put our confidence in others, we put our confidence in the circumstances or government or the economy or something else, and it fails. But the Word of God, faith is the evidence of things not seen. Proverbs talks a little bit about weights. Proverbs 16:11, a just weight and balances are the Lord's. All the weights of the bag are his work. Then Proverbs chapter 20, verse 10 says, divers weights and divers measures, both of them are like an abomination to the Lord. What do they mean, divers weights and divers measures? Unscrupulous businessmen in those days, they would go to buy something and they used balances to buy it. And so when they were buying something, they had a weight that was light, maybe 10 grams light, and they put it on there. And so, well, it's 100 grams, and they'd pay you. And then when it sold, I mean, it was 10 grams heavy, I'm sorry. And when they buy it, so they bought more for what the... And then when they went to sell something, their weight, they'd bring a different weight out, and it was light. But see, God's standard of faith is always the same. It does not change. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. The third thing we have to understand is faith has proven to be reliable. Look at verse 2. For by it the elders obtained a good report. And that's what we see going down through these verses of Hebrews chapter 11. We'll look at this more in the weeks to come. By faith they received a good report. It wasn't by their works, although they did some very good things. It wasn't by their intellect, although there were many wise individuals we find in Hebrews chapter 11. It wasn't because of their circumstances, although some were good and some were bad. It was by faith that they obtained a good report. A good report with who? First of all, a good report with God. Not long ago, I saw that Pastor Stansford put a video on YouTube or something about, you're seeing these team building exercises where somebody stands in front of you, say, now put your hands to your side and fall back. So you got Joshua there, you know, put your hands to your side and fall. And so the next one shows Joshua falling forward and his dad standing behind him. That's not what we're talking about. Because, you know what? we put faith in each other, and you know, in a measure we should. But we understand that folks, although they don't intend to, will let us down sometimes. But these individuals obtained a good report because their faith was in God. Because God never lets us down. Just like he did not let the three Hebrew children down when they were put in the fiery furnace. He did not let Daniel down when he was cast into the lion's den. He did not let Peter down when Peter was walking on the water. We see over and over and over again through Scripture, as we look down through the Hebrews chapter 11, we see that they obtained a good report with God, and we see also they obtained a good report with others. Because we see reading now 6,000 years after, we see it first says by faith Abel, by faith Enoch. Some 6,000 years after, we still read of their good report of faith. It should be our desire that we read the Word of God and obey the Word of God. First of all, so God sees and maintain a good report with God. But also we should read the Word of God and obey the Word of God so that others see our walk of faith. Not that we can brag about it, not that we can say we're so wonderful, but so that our children can see our walk of faith. Our children can see that we trust God, we read the Word of God, we obey the Word of God day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year. We obey the Word of God so that others, the unsaved that see us, that they see when we have a time of trouble and things are falling apart and the economy's going down and oil's not worth anything, and they can see that by faith we still serve God. It doesn't matter what the economy is. It doesn't matter what the government does. It doesn't matter about social ills and social problems and all those things going on. We serve by faith. Faith has been proven to be reliable. And the last thought this morning, faith is understanding what we have not seen. Verse 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Through faith we understand what we have not seen. We have not seen creation. We didn't see back 6,000-10,000 years ago when God created the world out of nothing. We didn't see that happen. We trust it by faith. And by the way, those evolutionists who say that the Big Bang took place and something about, I don't know, something about Einstein and gravitational waves, something going on. I don't understand all that. But they discovered something anyway. Do you ever think what God thinks when he hears about this? All of a sudden they say, oh, this great discovery, we've discovered this and we proved Einstein to be right and all this. And God says, I've known that all along. That's kindergarten stuff. See, evolutionists trust their theory by faith because nobody's there to see it. They claim there's a Big Bang. Nobody heard it. They claim that over millions of years that all these things, and nobody was around to tell us. You know, recorded human history, guess how old it is? About 6,000 years. There's no written record earlier than 6,000 years. Revelation 4:11. Says, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. God created the world 6 literal 24-hour days. Why did He do it? For His pleasure. For His pleasure. You know, I wonder if we are created, if we are here, if the reason for our existence today is God, is pleasing God, are we taking care of our responsibility? Is God pleased with us? Is God pleased with our attitude, with our actions? Is God pleased with how we use our resources? Because it says, Revelation 4:11, we were created to please God. That's why we are here. Psalm 19, verse 1 says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day utter speech, night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, their words unto the ends of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. Through faith, we understand. Through faith, we understand creation. Through faith, we understand things that we have not seen and will not come to completely understand until we get to glory. And I think for all eternity, we'll be learning more and more. But through faith, we believe it. Through faith, we count it as true. Why? Because the Word of God said. You see, I've got books in my library on creation, intelligent design, all those things. And I read those, a lot of scientific facts and multiplied numbers times this and all. And all, and that's all good. But what we really need is Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Why? That's what God said. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed, notice, by the Word of God. The writer of Hebrews helps us by describing faith. Two thoughts and I'm done. First of all, we're saved by faith. For by grace, Ephesians 2:8 and 9, we talk about those in Sunday school a little bit. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's hard for us sometimes to say, you know what? I'm going to trust God because he said, for whosoever shall call upon, whosoever calleth on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm going to trust. That is the Word of God. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's the Word of God. You see, it's not that plus doing some works. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We're saved by faith. And then we are to live by faith. Live by faith. What does that mean? And again, it's simple, but it's not easy. It's simple. We live obeying the Bible. But sometimes it's not easy for us to obey the Bible because our flesh gets in the way. Because our mind, our logical thinking gets in the way. The just shall live by faith. Live obeying the Bible. It's not what I think or what you think. It's not what society's norms are. It's not these what has changed or has not changed in the last 20 or 50 or 100 years. It's what does the Bible say. So we're saved by faith. There's no other way. See, there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Heaven is only accessed by faith. It's not living a good life. It's not being a good neighbor, being a good friend, paying your taxes. It's none of those things. It's by putting your faith in Jesus Christ. But just as certainly, our life is to be lived in obedience to God's word. Would you bow your heads and close our eyes? Our heads bowed and eyes closed. No one looking around.